Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome in to another edition of Slow Your Roll. I am Dominic Lorenzana alongside regular contributor Brian Salem doing the show today with us. Jesse is on vacation in Florida.
Must be nice.
I know, right? But I don't know, actually. I think I'd feel anxious if I was on vacation away from here after the things that have happened in the last 48 hours.
Probably.
I actually would. That's the only time I will ever say that I wish I wasn't somewhere else on vacation. But whew, it has been quite the 48 hours.
This is probably the only time in my life that anyone will hear me say that I wish I was in Florida. Thanks to that storm, I didn't watch any football.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because you were plowing and stuff all day.
Except for the second half of the late game. So yeah. that was nice.
Yeah. But anyway, whew, how quickly things change in about 24 hours. I mean, you've had three behemoths in the sport, all gone, two of them fired, or mutual parting of ways for one of them.
So fired.
The other one retiring on his own. Mike Vrabel went not long before that as well. So a lot of stuff to talk about. We'll talk about the national championship, which after everything that's happened in the last 40 hours, seems like it was a lifetime ago. But we'll talk about that. Jim Harbaugh, the Miami and the Jags both sort of collapsing at the end. Jags, of course, missing the playoffs. Miami now has to go play to Kansas City. It's going to be have you seen the temperatures?
Is it like a high of 8?
Yeah. Like, oh, I don't like Kansas City this week. I love Kansas City this week. Yeah, do some of that and, you know, some other stuff here and there. Our Darwin as always. But with that, I'm going to start with hasn't been the biggest news of the last 24 hours, obviously, for people here because Bill Belichick has been fired. But I'll start with what was the biggest news yesterday. And that is Nick Saban. The king is dead. It's all over for all of us who have suffered for so long under the iron grip of Nick Saban. The end is in sight. The end should be here. But jokes aside, Nick Saban is a legend. Nick Saban dominated college football, I don't think a way that anybody else has. Probably the greatest college coach ever. 6 national championships at Alabama. So, and you know, for a lot of people, this came out of the blue. It was surprising. But here, I have been on this for a year and a half. When I was down there back in 2020, that was when the landscape of college football was starting to change. The NIL was being implemented. There's two now recruiting cycles. There used to be only one. So college coaches don't get any time off. You have about a week or two off a year because you're always recruiting. So between the recruiting cycles and the emergence of NIL, it was just going to get harder and harder for Nick to stock talent the way he had and dominate the sport the way he was used to. And at 72 years old, you're not looking for your job to get harder. I'm not saying Nick wouldn't have been at the top of the game still. He would have been right there, but he would have been under siege like he had never had been before. Bama is huge. Bama is successful. But Bama does not have the same money and resources that some other schools have. Georgia has more. Texas has more. You could debate Oregon maybe with Phil Knight probably rivals Alabama. LSU has more. So in this day and age of paying players and NIL, it was going to get harder and harder for Nick. Then you throw in the transfer portal, which basically not only are you recruiting new players to come in, you're basically sometimes having to recruit your own players just to stay. So with all of this at 72 years of age, it just felt like there's no way it was going to stay this long. And you could tell multiple press conferences and things going on that he was starting to get under Nick's skin. And I don't blame him. And again, if he was younger and stuff, I'm sure he would have stayed it out longer. But it just felt like it was probably just getting a lot for him. And when you're dominating, right, you've been at the top, not being at the top is not suitable for you anymore. You know, you've stayed in the 5-star hotel. You don't want to be in the 3-star one or the 4-star one. And he would have been in the 5-star hotel again plenty of times, but it wouldn't have been every year the way it seemed. Because every year it seemed like that national championship ran through Tuscaloosa, Alabama. But I will say this to that. Adios, Nick Saban. The best to ever do it in college football. It's been a hell of a career. And, you know, don't let the door hit you on the way out. He's amazing, though. He is.
So who's the new Saban?
There won't be. There's going to be too much competition. Now with the 12-team playoff, with NIL, I don't think anyone's going to quite dominate the way that Saban was able to. That's part of why I don't think anyone will rule college football with an iron grip. Now, Kirby's going to win a bunch. Kirby's going to run the sport more than anybody else. But I don't think it's still, with Kirby there, I still don't think it's going to be the way that it always ran through Tuscaloosa, Alabama for, what, the better part of a decade?
Yeah.
So that's my thing on that. So I'll go quickly into potentials for other people's to do jobs, unless you have something to say on the Nick Saban thing right now. But
nope.
So obviously the next question becomes, where does Bama go from here? Now, I think Lane Kiffin is the move. He has experience at Alabama, offensive coach, great recruiter, and Lane is crazy enough to think and want to take on that challenge of stepping in Nick's shoes. I've heard Kalen DeBoer. He's a great coach. To me, that's risky, though, because DeBoer has never coached in the South. He has no Southern ties. All it takes is a couple of bad practices and a bad year, and those guys are going to be clamoring for Kalen to get the hell out of there. Ruin all the momentum that he has as a coach right now. To me, it's just risky. Dan Lanning at least has ties in the South with Georgia. It makes some sense, but I think Oregon is such a comfy job and Phil Knight pays so well, and they're going into the Big Ten. I could see Lane not wanting to take the job. And Steve Sarkisian, to me, makes zero sense at all, because I just talked about with Nick, one of the reasons I thought he was going to leave was the headache of NIL. Texas has significantly more money to pay players than Bama does. I said it when we were talking about Sark last week. Sark has the best roster money can buy at Texas. It doesn't make sense for you to leave a place with actual more money and resources to then have to go fill in the shoes of a legend at Alabama. So Sark doesn't make any sense to me. I've heard Mike Norvell at Florida State. I think that's a great hire as well. If I was running Bama, my first call would be Lane Kiffin. And I'll give you another one, a weird one out of left field. What about Pete Carroll? He has the energy of a college coach. He's been a great recruiter. I think scheme-wise, the NFL moved past him a little bit. I think he could do well at college. And from that press conference, it seems like he still wants to coach. Sort of a dark horse there. I think I'd give him a call at least. But to me, it's Kiffin, Dan Lanning, Mike Norvell, and then left field out of left field, Pete Carroll. Sark doesn't make any sense. And DeBoer, too risky, no Southern ties.
That's way out of left field.
I know.
Pete Carroll.
I know.
Sound the hot take siren, everyone.
We'll get into Carroll later in the show. I mean, it's clear as a defensive coach that the NFL moved past them. They have not had a good defense in years. But, I mean, he's got great energy. He was always great in college. He's known as a better coach for younger players. And he's a great recruiter. So, I don't know. And, again, it's hard to fill the shoes of a legend. I feel like you got to go big for your replacement in Nick anyway. So,
yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to happen. I don't think it will. I think it'll be Norvell or Kiffin.
I mean, making a splash as far as hiring the next coach to fill his shoes, splash doesn't get bigger than Pete Carroll.
Exactly.
Unless they hired Bill.
I know. Bill would never work in college, though. He's too cerebral. Like, he's too complicated. He's too meticulous. He's also not a recruiter.
It's not just that, too. It's just the whole culture these days.
Oh yeah,
like
he's
with college kids.
Yeah,
you know, you and I are sort of the last of a generation where it was do this because I told you to.
Yeah.
Okay, Mom.
Yeah. Now
there's no more of that now.
No, not as much. Definitely not as much.
And not only that, Bill's upbringing with his dad in Navy makes it that much more militaristic.
Yeah, exactly. And Bill's just, he doesn't have the personality.
I would love to see him coach in Navy, though.
That would be funny. But he's just not a recruiter, so I just couldn't see it. I don't think it makes any sense.
He might work there, though.
At Navy?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I still think
they learn how to take orders there. I mean,
that's true. Don't you still have to recruit, though? Like, he's just not a recruiter at all. The personality is just not, he's not going to sell you anything.
I have a feeling the Naval Academy might bend over, backwards a little bit for a guy with the last name Belichick.
I also don't know how those rules are. Do you have to be in the Navy or have been in the Navy to coach there?
That I was thinking about that earlier.
Yeah.
And I didn't ever find an answer, but that's a good question.
Yeah. So anyway, the king is dead, though. The king is finally dead. The suffering is over. So from the Knicks stuff, let's go to the other one. Brian, I don't know if you want to start this one because, I mean, I'm going to start a lot of these today, but this has got to be the one the closest to home for you.
I mean, we
knew it was coming.
Talking about Bill.
Yeah, we're talking about Bill.
We knew, yeah.
Listen, the first part of this show is just going to be talking about all the coaches that have been fired or left. It's been crazy.
This is true. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like you said, we knew it was coming, but it's still a big bomb, right? I mean, not a lot of people think about this. Mm. Bill Belichick has spent one third of his existence on this planet working for the Patriots.
Yeah.
Think about that.
I know.
That's absurd.
I know.
And, I mean, at least they prettied it up in their statement, a mutual parting of ways, which, as we said earlier, fired.
But, yeah.
Did you listen to the press conference?
No, I actually didn't have time.
At all? So I...
Bill's never going to give you anything, and neither is Kraft. So
nope,
I was like,
he did.
Oh, what did he say?
He did. And it's not so much that... You know, he sort of leaked anything or said, you know, gave you any nuggets, you know, into the mystique of Foxborough and Gillette and the Patriots way and the whole just aura surrounding them. I thought that press conference that they did today, and Bill definitely more so. I thought Bill was very genuine and said, you know, you could tell everything he said with conviction. And, you know, he believed what he said, and there was even a little bit of humor, joked around with the media a little bit, you know. I know you guys might not feel this way, but I do appreciate what you do, you know, you're our voice to the people. Sad to see him go, but sort of like Saban, thank you. Thank you for everything, but... I'm not going to say don't let the door hit you on the way out.
Well, I'm just doing that because I was rooting against Saban all the time.
So, I mean, and I know there's been plenty of people rooting against Bill for a long time.
We haven't, but
you know, every league is better with a villain.
Yeah.
So, but it was time for change. And
now, he didn't, in the press conference, he didn't say anything about differences of personnel or coaching staff or anything like that, because what I had heard is they were willing to have him stay, but the snag became like Kraft wanting, they're not coming to agreement on how much power Bill would have, especially when it came to hiring coaches.
I think
my guess is Kraft probably was like, hey, you need to go out of the family a little bit, you know.
Yeah I mean, that wouldn't surprise me. You know, it's no secret that there's been, at least to some degree, a lot of nepotism to take place, at least as far as the coaching staff go. Well, and personnel-wise, a lot of the time, you know, as far as drafting stuff goes and scouting, you know, taking drafting from college friends before, you know, instead of actually taking your scout's word on something.
Yeah,
I'm sure that was a big part of it, and I heard a lot of the same stuff and read a lot of the same stuff that you did. But I think a big problem with that, and I've heard this a lot too, and I agree with it, is like, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Yeah.
Right. So you could present Bill with that proposition, right? Say he says, okay.
Yeah.
You're still running the risk of bringing in a guy that Bill doesn't know or doesn't want to work with or just doesn't like their philosophical approach.
Yeah, and that's daunting when it's Bill Belichick who doesn't like something that you're doing.
Now, not only that, you're hiring someone that's going to be in charge of hiring coaches and drafting and all that stuff, and you don't know if Bill's going to work well with the guys that you hire. You don't know if Bill's going to want to play people that this new GM drafts or, you know, what have you. So even if, you know, he says, all right, I will just coach, I think there's a lot of uncertainties there.
So. Well, yeah, just because you said you're just going to coach, you just suck up so much oxygen in the room. It's hard for people. People could be walking on eggshells. If you do dislike something, it's just hard. And when you have that much power, that much behind you.
One of the things he said in his press conference today was, he was doing his rounds of thanking, everyone in the organization, coaches,
mm-hmm.
Players, just everyone in the building, kitchen staffers.
Mm-hmm.
There was one or a couple of names that he'd mentioned. I can't remember off the top of my head right now, but basically he was like, I'm really, really appreciative of these people. He's like, they've made my life a lot easier, or I've made theirs harder. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, at least he's self-aware
mm-hmm.
in how sort of curmudgeon he is.
Yeah. Before I talk more on this, I quickly will do this again. I want just your straight-up answer. Are you happy that he's gone? Not happy, like, obviously it's bittersweet, but, like, do you think it's in the best interest of the Pats? And where would you like them to go from here now?
As far as the direction of the team, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. For a litany of reasons, the biggest ones being those that we just talked about.
Yeah, personnel, coaching, right. Staff.
But not only that, is sort of the same thing with Pete a mm-hmm. little bit, whereas he's a defensive-minded coach, but we feel as though the game's passed him by a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the game has passed Bill by mm-hmm. a little bit, but even if it hasn't...
Not on his specialty side of the ball, though, but yes, I got your point.
He's showed...
In the larger picture, it has.
No reluctancy to change.
Yeah.
And that just... The game evolves too quickly now mm-hmm. for that. And
yeah, you have to be adaptive.
Right. You need proactive, not reactive.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work anymore. Bill, in the grand scheme, might still be the smartest guy in the room,
mm-hmm.
but there might be five or six other guys in that same room that can poke holes in whatever it is that he wants to do.
Mm-hmm. And he won't listen, so.
Exactly.
So, where would you like them to go from here?
As far as who they hire for a coach?
Yeah.
Either go get me Mike Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
And find the best OC that's not named Ben Johnson.
Okay.
Because you're not going to be able to
pay him enough. He's going to be a head coach.
Exactly.
Yeah.
To mm-hmm. just be a coordinator mm-hmm. anymore. Right? Or you just hire Ben Johnson.
Okay.
As the coach.
I like both of those, actually. Those are both solid to me. I don't want anything to do with Gerard Mayo. Like, nothing against Mayo. I don't really want a defensive mind, and I don't want an underling of Bill. That never works. When the legend gets fired, when they have the underling take over, I feel like it almost never works.
Bill's coaching tree blows.
That too.
But his coaching tree blows. None of those guys played.
Yeah.
Vrabel didn't coach for Bill.
Yeah, he just played for Bill.
Mm-hmm. He did. He's a good coach.
He is.
Kevin O'Connell
mm-hmm.
never really saw the field unless they were up by 40 points and there was
mm-hmm.
a minute 20 left in the game.
Yeah.
Never coached for Bill.
Mm-hmm. There's a difference with playing and coaching for Bill.
He's a pretty good coach.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Right?
But I don't think he's not a teacher. I don't think he teaches his coaching staff, really.
Probably not.
He's not that kind of guy. So.
But, I mean, and that's only two examples compared to however many are in Bill's coaching tree, guys that didn't play but coached for him.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, Brian Flores has been the most successful of his coaching tree.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And that's not even that successful. But, yeah, you know what?
And we've said it a lot on this show,
mm-hmm.
but you still got to give Billy O credit. Mm. He's the only one to coach for Houston that has a winning record when they left.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah, although Billy O, Billy O's not doing too great these days either. So.
No, he's not, and funny enough, if I'm not mistaken, Vrabel was on his staff.
Yeah.
He's a linebacker's coach.
Yes, he was. So anyway, I have some quick thoughts on the Belichick stuff. For all the haters out there and the Pats fans who want to call him an idiot, call him this, call him that, you don't know what you're talking about. Listen, he's still a sensational coach. He's a great defensive coach. He might still be the best defensive mind in football. They lost their two best players in Judon and Christian Gonzalez, and were still playing elite defense all throughout the season and at the end of it. He will still get the most out of a defensive personnel that anyone else in this league can. But the unwillingness to hire outside of the family or outside people he knows, the lack of awareness of offense, he's not a good drafter, he's not good on the personnel stuff. The things that this team needs to fix were always the things that Bill is not probably going to be able to do. And therefore, you're going to be stuck on this treadmill.
Or is too stubborn to change.
And it was just time. And for everyone who was like, well, he could stay the coach and you can get a GM and then you can get him out of the personnel thing. That all sounds way better in theory. And even if Bill agrees to it, it's still like
Pandora's box.
Yeah, like you bring in some kid GM. He might be smart, but all that takes is one meeting with Bill and just one sort of harsh reaction from Bill. And it's just like it's hard to bulldoze over Belichick and just make the picks you want.
You know what's going to happen after two minutes?
Plus, Bill, pettiness, by the way. I mean, Bill's the king of that. What if he drafts a quarterback Bill hates?
After
doesn't want to work with him.
After 2 minutes in a meeting with some 30-something-year-old analytic-driven nerd that they might hire, you know what Bill's going to do?
F this. Yeah.
More on to Cincinnati.
Yeah, like Bill's not – like there's not a lot of people Bill's actually going to listen to.
No.
So, and I think Bill's still at the top of the list for a lot of teams. I think he'd make a ton of sense for the Commanders. I think he'd make a ton of sense for the Chargers. You know, it's funny. I heard this one from, like, Nick Wright on FS1, and I don't even like Nick Wright. But he talked about if Sirianni got canned, that would be the perfect spot for Bill, which I agree with.
Or Dallas if McCarthy gets booted, too.
Yes, although I don't think Jerry would want to deal with Bill.
Bill has a good relationship with Steve and Jerry Jones.
Does he? Yeah, yep. You know what? That'd be a good one, too. But I think Howie Roseman, the GM for the Eagles, would be somebody that has been in the league long enough that Bill would respect enough to be able to work with and let him do the personnel stuff. And that the Eagles need help on the defense, particularly in the secondary. That Bill does that better than anyone.
You think Bill would ever go to work for a GM that he lost a Super Bowl to?
Yeah. I don't think he's that petty.
Really?
Not that petty. It's not like I think Howie, he respects people. So
the greatest quarterback to ever throw a football decided he wanted to go elsewhere and signed in Tampa, of all places, all because Bill wouldn't give him 25 guaranteed and let his masseuse into the building.
See, people
always think Bill is going to go coach for someone he lost a Super Bowl to?
I think he would. As long as he doesn't have a personal animosity with him, I don't think he'd care. I don't. Also, with that thing, come on. We all know a large part of why Brady left was his wife. Everyone always makes it just about Bill. I don't think it was. Now, listen, it's a small part of it. He's not the easiest person to play for. But at the end of the day, his wife wanted them out of New England. She wanted to be in Cali. She wanted to be in Florida. She wanted to be somewhere with better weather, more international type of city.
And look where that got him.
I know. That's why I'm saying he gave in to the wife and it didn't work out in the end, but
I'm not saying don't get married. But
you just gotta pick better.
I'm not gonna say anything else.
He's gotta pick better. But yeah. So long to Bill. It's been amazing. Thank you for everything, Belichick.
Bill.
And again, to all the haters out there who are trying to say he's not a good coach still, shut up. He's still the best in the business as far as coaching defense. He's the best. It's just everything else, the personnel stuff, the larger picture culture. It's passed him by, and he's just in a place where those things need to be fixed, and he's not going to be able to fix it. But if he went to a place where that infrastructure is there, like the Eagles with all the offensive talent they have, like the Chargers with the offensive people they have, Washington, they'll draft a quarterback this year, and they do have playmakers on the outside. So I still think Bill's at the top of the list for some other places.
I do have this
if
question.
If he wants to coach, he will be coaching next year.
That I thought of this the other day. And we all talk about how great it was, right, that Brady, as soon as he went to Tampa, first year, boom, Super Bowl. And then they almost run it back a couple of years, right?
Yeah.
We give Brady a lot of credit for that.
Yeah.
Now, what a lot of people don't realize is they were just a quarterback away, right? But we still give Brady a lot of credit for going to a team that was ready-made.
Yeah.
Does Bill get as much credit? Say he goes to a Dallas or an L.A. two teams that
I think he would definitely still get the lion's share of the credit with the Chargers.
Does he get as much as Brady?
Because he would have to get through Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. He'd have to get through John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson, and that's just in his own conference. That's not even the Super Bowl. So, no, I think if he went to the Chargers, he'd get a ton of credit. Dallas is such a big brand that, I mean, we can nitpick and say it was ready-made, but just because it's the Dallas Cowboys and they haven't won anything in so long, but they're a huge brand, yes. He'll get a massive amount of credit for that, too. Probably more credit than Tom got in Tampa, just because it's the Dallas Cowboys.
Really?
And we think of them as always underachieving and not making it and overhyped.
And we still think of Tampa fresh off Brady leaving as dregs.
Yeah.
They won a Super Bowl more recently than the Patriots did.
They did, but that was with Tom. I don't think Bill needs to win a Super Bowl. I don't even think Bill needs to get to a Super Bowl. I just think he needs to change the culture and win a lot. If he loses in an AFC championship game and he loses to Josh Allen and Buffalo or the reigning dynasty of Patrick Mahomes and Reed, I don't think it's going to matter. Because at the end of the day, you got the Chargers to the AFC championship game.
He beat Mahomes, I think.
He might. I still think he beat just about anyone as long as you give him the players.
No one game plans for that dude better than Bill.
Oh, yeah. Bill's game plans are still great. That's what I mean. It's just like if you give him the pieces, I still think he's great.
Greatest defensive game plan ever saw in my life. Mm-hmm. Second Rams Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah. I mean, what was that offense averaging? Like 33 points a game? And they held him to three points.
Yeah. Under 300 yards of total offense.
Yeah. No, that was right up there with the greatest show on turf one.
And then everyone copied his scheme next year, and the Rams were not good.
I know. But, all right, with that, the last of the coaching people out of the building, let's start with the Mike Vrabel one. They say he's fired. That's the most misleading firing of all time, guys. Vrabel wanted out. Like, he wanted to get fired. We've all been there before. We're at a job where we don't want to be at anymore. We don't get along with our boss. We don't respect our boss. We don't think our boss knows what he's doing. Like, we've all been there before. And that's where Vrabel was. And I think he had a terrible relationship with the owner. He had a bad relationship with the GM. Everything went south after the A.J. Brown trade. You could tell by the look on Vrabel's face. He didn't like it. He was unhappy. Like, you could see the pain on his face when they made that trade. It never got any better after that. And Mike is a great coach. Mike knows he has options. And he was just done with the front office there. And that's what it comes down to. He was either going to quit or he was going to get fired. But he's been warring with that front office for well over a year now. So Mike Vrabel is going to have his pick of the litter. When we talk about these job things, right, the dominoes are all going to start with Vrabel and Jim. Because no one wants to make a hire as long as those two are available still.
Right.
So once they decide what's next, everything else will start to fall into place. But Vrabel has his pick of the litter in college even, too. They would fire Ryan Day yesterday.
Oh, absolutely.
If they could get absolutely. Mike Vrabel to go to Ohio State. So
I would love that, too.
I would love it, too. I would love Mike Vrabel Ohio State. I've never rooted for Ohio State in my life. I probably still wouldn't root for him, but it would look really cool.
Could you imagine if Jim stays at Michigan?
Oh, and Mike Vrabel.
Fire Day and then hire Vrabel. Could you imagine that?
Oh, my gosh. As a football fan, just
that that might be the highest rated college football game.
Oh, yeah.
Ever.
Oh, yeah. The next season, it might be. That would be insane.
And the only way those ratings would get bigger is if it was at Ann Arbor.
Yeah. That would be insane. I would love that so much. I don't think that's what's going to happen. I kind of think he's going to come here to New England.
But slow your roll on Instagram. What's your biggest coaching pipe dream?
I know, right? But any thoughts on that, what I just said, the Vrabel situation, where you think he might go?
My thoughts on the Vrabel situation are the same as they were a few minutes ago when we talked about the coaching situation in New England. As Bill Clinton once famously said, I will revert to my former statement. Go get me Mike Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I care about.
Okay.
Go get me Mike Vrabel. Where I want him.
I would like Mike Vrabel as long as I know who the OC he's bringing. I would love Arthur Smith if he can bring Arthur with him. And I know everyone wants to listen. He was a really good coordinator. He's proven he's a really good coordinator. I know you're going to say the offenses weren't great in Atlanta, but when you're the head coach and you're not good at everything else, even the things that you're good at, like the offense, are going to take a hit. Because you can't focus just on that.
Example, Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, he's still a great OC. So, you know, everyone wants to call Arthur Smith the village idiot now. Nobody would want him here. Trust me, the Vrabel-Arthur Smith thing would be great. If Vrabel came here and I knew Arthur Smith was coming with him, I'd be totally happy. Kind of want an offensive-leaning head coach, but Vrabel's proven that he's a winner. Bring Arthur with him. And the other thing with the great thing about if Arthur Smith came with him, you know, you see Nick Sirianni had to deal with this. They're great last year. Shane Steichen takes over. But Steichen is going to take a head coaching job the year after. No one's giving Arthur Smith a head coaching job for years because we've seen it already. It didn't work. So it doesn't matter if he came in here and the offense started putting up 26 points a game. Right. Arthur Smith's not getting a head coaching job for a couple of seasons still.
We'd just be happy to see 20s in the...
Oh, yeah.
20s.
Mm-hmm. So that's the other perk.
Last time I saw the Patriots score 20 points.
So that would be the other perk with bringing Vrabel here is just because is that you probably get Arthur Smith, and by getting Arthur Smith, you get an OC that you know is not taking a head coaching job anytime soon. So
the one thing I will say I do like about Arthur Smith, mm-hmm. doesn't he sort of run like the LaFleur?
Yeah, a little bit.
Offense,
yeah. A little bit. Any other landing spots that you think they're going to have to compete with? Now, listen, they're going to have to compete with everyone. But obviously, Carolina, no one wants to go to Carolina. Vrabel's not going to take that job over New England.
He's not stupid enough.
Do you think the Chargers could steal him away from New England? And how much do you think that makes sense for Vrabel? Because I have an opinion. I don't think Jim's going to go to the Chargers. I'll say it later. It's because he has to face – I'll say it right now. It's because if Jim went to the Chargers – there's a chance he has to play his brother a lot and get through to his brother for either one to make a Super Bowl. And he admitted when he had to play John in the Super Bowl, he didn't like it. So I kind of feel like Jim would rather take the Washington job. He'd get his pick of a quarterback.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Go to Washington.
Mm-hmm.
Trade down, take JJ.
Yeah. I don't think he'd do that. I think they'd use that 2 pick and draft Drake May, though. Thoughts on Vrabel?
I don't see him going to the Chargers either.
Okay.
I don't see him there.
All right.
He
doesn't feel LA. I get that.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Vrabel's an East Coast guy. He's got that thing about him.
It's just
you know?
The Chargers need such a cultural, like,
they have no culture. They have no culture at all. I know.
Like I don't even think clever would be good enough. That's why I don't think Ben Johnson should go there. They need beyond just good coaching and clever coaching. They need like a culture changer. They need someone who comes in the room and takes all the oxygen out of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So changes the temperature of the building the minute he walks in. And that's Vrabel. So that's my thoughts on
it. I mean, I think Ben Johnson would do that a little bit for different reasons. Okay. I think more sort of they see him and they go, okay.
That's not Staley at least.
Well, yeah, that. But this microphone's a better coach than Brandon Staley.
Brandon Staley was so bad.
Like, I think he would change the temperature in that room because I think a lot of people within the organization and obviously a lot of people around and in the media, mm-hmm. like, they look at that team and go, imagine what they could be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of guys out of the 53 would mm-hmm. be like, oh, we just got that guy.
Yeah.
We're going to really be a problem mm-hmm. for the rest of the league now.
Yeah.
Plus he seems, you know,
mm-hmm. and so
young, hip, offensive mind.
Yeah.
That's so LA.
Yeah.
It's the West Coast McDaniel. Just not as quirky.
Yeah, definitely not as quirky. Oh, I love Mike, though. Anyway, for the Seahawks one, let's talk Pete Carroll. I've been on this for years.
That's a place I could see Vrabel.
That would make a lot of sense, actually. I could see Seattle going after Vrabel, too. I've been on this one for years. I thought the game has passed Pete Carroll by for a while. He's a defensive coach. You say what you want about Belichick. The defense still performs. His defenses have been pretty bad over the last 3-4 years. So this year, they're ranked 30th in yards allowed, 25th in points, and 30th in allowing third down conversions. Last year, they were 26th in yards allowed, 27th in points allowed, and 27th in allowing third down conversions. So near the bottom of the league, and Pete's a defensive coach.
And it's not a stable of thoroughbred horses on that side of the ball, but they
drafted it pretty well.
They still have good personnel.
They've drafted both sides of the ball very well, but particularly the defensive side over the last two drafts. To me, Seattle's renewed success without Russell Wilson trading him away has been a John Schneider story more than it's been a Pete Carroll story. And again, I don't think Pete's a stupid coach. I don't think he's an idiot. I just think the game sort of passed him by. He hasn't changed his defensive philosophy, and it's just not working. And also, you know, these defensive – listen, the Russell Wilson trade was still a good move. But Pete also was the one banging the table saying Geno Smith is good enough. And, you know, I mean, look, this year, he's kind of not.
The water, like found, the water found its level.
Yeah, like they shouldn't have lost both games to the Rams. Like the Rams are in a rebuild mode. Seattle's got a better roster than the Rams. But, you know, it was just time.
They are kind of in rebuild mode, but, I mean, McVay's still.
I know,
like,
McVay's great and Stafford's great. And that's why I had them to make the playoffs and win more games than Vegas said. But Seattle should not have been swept by them.
Like, and you knew that once McVay started to get some of his toys back, healthy in the lineup, you knew he was going to sort of look like he was at the top of his game again.
No, I know. I get that. But it was just time. Like I said, bottom of the league the last 2 years in defense. 72 years old. The defensive scheme's never really changed.
Is Reed the oldest coach in the league now?
Until Bill gets another job, yeah. Because Belichick's getting another job. If he wants another job, he's getting another job. We'll see if Pete gets another one. I wouldn't be shocked if he didn't or if Pete took a year off. I still think Pete going back to college, I think, would still be a home run. I think that'd be hilarious if Bama gave him a call. That'd be wild.
I mean,
though he doesn't have really any Southern ties, so, you know, kind of a weird fit. But but at the end of the day, you won a Super Bowl in the NFL. That works at any college. That works in recruiting at any time. So, I don't know. Any thoughts on the Pete Carroll Seattle stuff?
I mean, it was a bomb when we heard it.
Oh, yeah, it was.
But
I didn't actually think they were going to do it. I just think this is the right move.
Yeah, I didn't either, but it makes plenty of sense.
Yeah, it's just time.
And
it's
the more, like, the more I've thought about it, the less I'm surprised. I'm still surprised, but less so than I was yesterday when,
there's a lot of similarities between the Seattle one and the Pats one. I don't want to say that they're the same coach, though, because, like I said, I think Bill is still a great coach. I don't really think Carroll is. I think the game has passed him by kind of in all facets. But both guys, 70-something years old, things have been sort of on a treadmill, not going forward for a while. It just felt like it was time. It's time to just make change the building. You know, doesn't mean you're an idiot. All things end. You know, Steelers, you're on the clock.
Yeah, Carroll's a little stupid sometimes.
So, he can be. Steelers, you're on the clock. I kind of think that's another one that probably is time for a change. It's not going to happen, but I think it'd probably be time. But anyway, with that, we're done with the coaching exits for a little while. We're going to take a quick break, talk national championship, and then Jim Harbaugh, and move on to more NFL stuff after that. Stick with us, guys. And we're back here. Let's move on to some college again real quick, the national championship game. Michigan takes down Washington, ended up doing it kind of easily in the end. I don't think people are overly shocked. I thought Washington had a very good shot in this game. I think I picked them to win, at least originally. As the week went on, I started to think that probably Michigan was going to win. I think Kalen DeBoer is a really great coach, but he's such a prep monster that when there was only a week in between, it wasn't that helpful for someone like him. I think if there had been more time to prepare, I think this game would have been a lot closer. But it was also an odd game in the sense that from the moment the ball was kicked off, Michigan was better than Washington, and it was pretty obvious. But it was a close game for far too long. I mean, they just let them hang around. I mean, Michigan's offense is still pretty limited, which is why every undefeated national championship, why do we always have to do this? Their stupid fan bases have to, is this the best college team ever? Shut up. Shut up. Michigan needed OT to beat Nick Saban's worst team and a quarterback that can't throw. Like, last year's national championship would have beat them. 2020 Bama would have beat them. 2019 LSU would blow the doors off that Michigan team. Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, stop. Stop. You think if Washington's offense stalled out as many times, or if Michigan's offense stalled out as many times as it did against Washington, what LSU's offense would have done to them? Get out of here with that. But anyway, I think it's funny that people who hate Jim Harbaugh needed this national championship just to lay off him. I think that's comical. him winning this game or not wouldn't have changed my opinion. He's literally won everywhere he went. Stanford is not a good football program. It was not a good football program when he took over. He beat Pete Carroll once, the reigning dynasty, as a 40-point underdog. 12 wins at Stanford with those academic standards. Goes to the Niners. They were kind of a wasteland at the time. Gets him to a Super Bowl with Colin Kaepernick, who we find out is actually not that good of a thrower, you know? So, no, he's won everywhere he goes. But this was great. Biggest win maybe of his career. Maybe second biggest. Maybe you could say beating Saban was actually bigger. I don't know. But definitely up there. Did he beat Pete Carroll and the Seahawks to have to make that Super Bowl? I forget.
I think he did. I believe he did.
Yeah, I think they lost them the year before. Wasn't that like the muffed punt?
They lost.
Like Crabtree muffed that punt.
I'm trying to remember. I know they lost in the 14 season.
Mm-hmm.
Because Seattle obviously went to the Super Bowl that year. They would have lost in... They lost in 13
mm-hmm.
on the Crabtree mm-hmm. throw in the end zone. Mm. Don't talk about me.
Yeah. I remember that.
But in 2012. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so 2012, I think they beat Seattle okay. in the conference title game.
Okay.
They lost the next two.
So we went up against Pete Carroll multiple times, beat him plenty of times, beat him on his way to a Super Bowl.
That's a rivalry you should look into.
Oh, gosh. Yeah,
Carroll and Harbaugh.
No,
oh, that's great. There's a channel on YouTube called Secret Base.
Okay.
And they have a whole bunch of really, really cool playlists, like Deep Rewind stuff. Mm-hmm. But they do a video on the history of the beef between Pete Carroll and Jim Harbaugh. It's great. You got to watch it.
Yeah. No, I gotcha. And by the way, Michigan was kind of in a mess, bit of a disaster before Jim showed up, too. So Jim's just won everywhere. Great win for him, though. I'm happy for him. I'm happy it shuts up the haters, too, because the whole advanced scouting stuff was stupid. Like I said, the SEC was joking about that all year. Eli Drinkwitz played Ohio State in that bowl game, and leading up to that bowl game, every time he was on a mic or on television, he was making jokes about how they had Ohio State signals. Because coaching in the SEC, everybody's known that everyone's been doing this for like 10 years.
I misspoke a minute ago about the 2014 NFC title game.
Okay.
Seattle beat Green Bay.
Oh, in that game, okay.
Not San Fran.
Okay. I think, but I think Seattle beat.
In 13.
Okay. And I think Seattle. The Niners beat them to get to their Super Bowl.
Yes.
Too. So, but for the national championship, you know, it ended up. The score was one-sided. The game was one-sided, even though the score was closer than it should have been for a while. I thought Penick's draft stock probably took a decent hit. He looked kind of pedestrian.
Especially to have that performance after the one.
Yeah.
He had – who did they play?
Texas.
Yeah,
Texas.
Against Texas.
But Michigan's a better coach defense, though, and definitely a better secondary. But he looked limited at times. He missed some wide-open throws. You know, there's red flags with Penix. As special of an arm talent as he can be, as deadly accurate as he sometimes can be, there's definitely some red flags there. They showed up in that Michigan game. Everyone's allowed a bad game, too, but I think the draft stock definitely took a hit. You know, people were talking about, you know, is he up there with Jaden Daniels? Maybe he's the third pick. I think after that game, it's like, all right, no, he's securely in the fourth spot. It's going to be Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Michael Penix. I expect Penix probably to still go, if not in the top 10, just outside of it, like 11th or 12th. But
what about Bo Nix?
No, he's end of the first round.
Okay.
Yeah, I watch him play, and I don't see any physical traits that jump off the page to me that make me go, okay, that's going to translate to the NFL.
Right.
I see a really good college quarterback. You know.
So
this means kind of low ceiling. A little bit, yes, actually. Better than Mac, though. He does have a better arm than Mac did. More mobile than Mac. But listen, Mac, I said it when they drafted him. Mac being drafted in the first round was insane. People of his caliber are not first round draft picks. Bo, I think, is going to get drafted in the first round. Now, I think he's going to get drafted at the end of the first round. But he is a first round quarterback in the end.
You don't Mac, think any Mac
was Mac
team?
Was never a first round quarterback.
You don't think any quarterback needy team gets stupid?
I just don't. You think there's someone when there's four others that are going to go in the top 10 or just outside the top 10? I don't think anyone's going to be so desperate and stupid that they're going to have to move up for Bo. I see Bo going 20th.
I mean,
or lower.
San Fran gave up a lion's share for what's his name.
Yes, but at least you watch Trey Lance play, and you were like, all right, he does have a. Now it turns out he couldn't throw a changeup.
Yeah,
like,
at an FCS school.
Like he didn't. Yeah, but there was no changeup. He didn't have touch. The mechanics they could never fix. But you did watch him, and you go, okay, he's big and strong. He can run, and he does have an explosive arm. It's just, you know, you got to – there needs to be things that then connect the dots together,
raw.
And he never had – yeah, it was too raw. But you don't watch Bo and go, oh, my God, a special athlete, great size, you know, cannon arm. No, no. He's good enough at everything. So – but Mac –
that was Dante Hightower.
Mac Jones historically is a third round pick.
He's Kirk Cousins.
He is.
Light.
And Kirk has gone on to have a very good NFL career, but as a prospect, he's a third round talent.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my opinion on the national championship stuff. Let's talk about what's next for Jim. What do you think is next for Jim?
That's another guy I wouldn't mind seeing Kraft throw a huge bag at.
I know.
But he wouldn't come here.
Why not?
I don't know.
He probably wouldn't want to.
Plus, he'd still be in the same conference as John.
Oh, yeah, there's that, too. That I mean, that's been my point. But he probably doesn't want to follow Belichick's footsteps. Probably not.
But if there's two guys that I think either wouldn't care a whole lot, or be phased by that, would be Vrabel and Harbaugh.
Probably. But, I definitely don't think Jim's coming.
I mean, Vrabel especially. He used to give Bill crap.
Yes.
All the time.
But I definitely don't think Jim's coming here. Where do you think Jim's going? Don't, whatever I said earlier, take that out of your head. When you walked in today, when you had these conversations, where were you thinking Jim was going to go?
I could see Jim going to the Chargers. I could see that. I mean, there's been a lot of talk trying to connect him to Chicago, but that's...
He's not going to Chicago.
No.
I'll tell you why he's not going to Chicago. Because the president of operations for the Bears is Kevin Warren, who was the former Big Ten commissioner, and they do not have a good relationship.
Yeah.
They do not like each other. I already heard yesterday someone told me that the Bears hadn't even called Jim. All you Chicago fans, if you think he's going there, he's not. As long as Kevin Warren is running your operation, Jim Harbaugh is not going to go there. So you can throw that one in the fire. So you think Chargers. I don't think you're wrong. I think at the end of the day, if he was to take the Washington job, that's the thing with Jim, right? He is such a hot commodity. He's got all the power here. There's only actually two NFL jobs that are open right now that I would say leave Michigan to take. That is the Chargers, because you'll inherit Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, a Bosa brother on the defense. You know, like, there's talent here. You got the quarterback.
But again, the snag is having to play John.
We'll get to that. But I'm just talking about purely from Jim's perspective. There's only two jobs that I think are worth leaving Michigan over. And then the second one is Washington. The NFC is not that strong. It's not great quarterbacked. You do have some offensive pieces here between Dotson, Curtis Samuel. Terry McLaurin looks like he has lost a step. But, I mean, the running backs, Brian Robinson, Antonio Gibson, serviceable. The defense needs a lot of work. That's for sure. But you're going to have a lot of cap space. You're going to have draft picks. You're going to have the number two overall pick.
Now, did they straight up cut Montez Sweat and Chase Young, or were those trades?
They cut Chase Young. They traded Montez Sweat, I believe.
All right.
Yeah. So they do have extra picks from the Bears also. You're going to have a ton of cap space. And you now have an ownership group that's actually experienced sports owners. And they've done a good job. We'll talk about this later, Bob Meyer, Rick Spielman running the hiring process. I like the front office and ownership now in Washington. So there's a lot of perks here. Big one being, though, second overall pick. So you go get the quarterback. And by the way, Jim Harbaugh recruited Drake May, so he knows Drake May. So if he likes Drake May, this is a no-brainer to me. Washington is the better job than the Charger one. And then also because, like I said, if he's in Washington, he doesn't have to face John. And they're such a close-knit family. They want to visit each other's games. Their parents do.
You're right there.
Is Baltimore and Washington, what's the mileage? 25 miles, 30 miles?
Maybe.
Something like that. So, I mean, you know, they're right there. So, I think Washington checks a lot of boxes.
He fits that profile, too.
He does. Far more than the West Coast.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, Vrabel's not a West Coast guy. Mm-hmm. Like, if it was college, maybe I could see Harbaugh going somewhere out west again. But for the NFL, not. Like, I could. For the reasons we talked about, yes, Chargers. But for more than just being in the conference with John, that's not a, I don't think, a good culture fit for him. Mm-hmm. Like, you think of Washington, right? You think of, like, old school, you know, like, cornerstone, historic NFL franchise. Tough, hard-nosed. Mm-hmm. That's Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah. No, I know.
He just fits.
Mm. Exactly.
And they should change the name again.
Yeah. So I think that fits better. That being said, if I was Dean Spanos and I got a sit-down interview, I wouldn't let him leave the room. I would kind of, like, blank check it. Yep. Be like, whatever it takes.
Yep.
Simply because, like, you're in a very distracted market. You're falling behind all these other, like, teams and programs. Like, nobody cares about you. Yeah. You need a culture change or two. You need a splash hire just for interest. Like, if I was Spanos, I make it hard for him to say no. But at the end of the day, I think the Washington job checks a few more boxes. And then again, if it's not these two, then just stay at Michigan. You aren't going to go to Carolina and that wacky owner. Atlanta, you got to draft a quarterback, and they don't have a top four pick, top five pick, so you're stuck with Pettix or Bo Nix or J.J. McCarthy or whatever you want to do. You know, you're going to have some there. There's talent there, but some of it's going to be coming up to a point where you got to pay some of it. So the other jobs, New England, I don't know, whatever Kraft decides to do, but you have to replace Bill Belichick.
I mean, what
there's
coaches,
just not other great jobs.
What coaches do you think might get fired next year? So like there's
Nick Sirianni.
So there's his incentive to say
Nick Sirianni.
Oh, maybe I stick it out here one more year.
And no, yeah.
Whatever comes available next year.
Well, Jim Harbaugh, I feel like, would fit Philly. Although I could totally see Howie Roseman and Jim butting heads, though, so that's a problem. But Nick Sirianni could be on the hot seat next year. Dennis Allen, but the Saints are in cap hell for years, so that's not a great job.
What's Dable's term?
Well, why would you want to go there, though?
I don't know.
Like, why would you want to go there? They have not proved to be a well-run operation since Tom Coughlin. And even then, they weren't well-run. Just Tom Coughlin was great. But I wouldn't go there. That's a mess of an organization. They're like a sneaky mess. They don't get enough credit for how much of a mess they kind of are.
I mean, Jim's cleaned up two messes before.
That's true.
And he did a damn good job.
That's true. You know. Boy, the New York media would hate him, though. I tell you that right now. They would freaking hate Jim Harbaugh.
I mean, he wouldn't possibly be any worse than John Tortorella when he was with the Rangers.
Probably not, but it would still be bad. I'm trying to think who else would have a job opening. You got to see what the hell happens to the Dolphins. I'm sure they want to be better. Now, I don't think it's McDaniels.
They won't get rid of him.
I don't think it's – I heard a rumor last year they might get rid of him just because they choked away their playoff spot and did they make the playoffs last year or they didn't? I thought they didn't.
I don't
remember. But anyway. No, I think they totally would fire him. Not that they should, but I think they would. No, I don't think it's his fault. I think it's Tua's fault. We'll talk about that literally in the next segment. But that's just off the top of my head right now. So, I don't know. Any more thoughts on the Jim Harbaugh stuff?
If you can't get Vrabel, get Jim.
Yeah.
You don't mess around with Jim.
All right. So now let's talk about the two collapses. One of them, at least, is still in the playoffs, and the other is not. Let's start with the Jags. Have you been here for this? What do I call the NFL?
Not for long.
The not for long league.
I literally explained this to my aunt before I left the house.
Oh, okay.
Because she had asked me last night about Bill, and I was like, he might be gone tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked her, I says, do you hear the news?
Mm-hmm.
No. What happened? They fired Bill.
Mm-hmm.
Get out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. You see?
Yeah.
It can happen to anybody. And I said that. I said, it's a results-based league. NFL stands for not for long.
Not for long. So. That's what it stands like. And last year, it felt like, now we're not, no one's saying the Jags, we thought for sure they'd be amazing, but it did feel like
they were.
The Titans are limited with a bad quarterback. Houston was a mess. The Colts look like they had the craziest owner in the league now that Dan Snyder is gone and no quarterback, right? Matt Ryan fell off a cliff. So it looked like the Jags, well, you got the quarterback and you got the head coach. It looks like they were going to be running their division for years to come. Fast forward just one season, Indy has a rising star head coach.
Wah, wah, wah.
And Houston has a rising star head coach and what looks like a star quarterback
and
CJ Stroud. So you could make the argument just a year later, the Jags have the second best quarterback in the division and maybe the worst coach in the division. Not for long, man. It really is. It's crazy how fast this stuff can change.
So do I need to walk back on my apology that I made months ago to Doug Peterson?
I mean, listen, at the end of the day, Peterson still did a good job last year. He's going to have to answer for the collapse this year because we'll talk about Lawrence, probably overrated, but it's hard to, like, I gave you stats of Pete Carroll and all that. I can't even give you stats with the Jags. Like, everyone was just bad. Every facet of the game was bad. Lawrence was bad. The offense was bad. The defense was bad. The special teams were bad. The situational football was bad.
I thought you were going to see them in the conference title game this year.
I thought there was a good chance.
Going into this season.
Especially when Buffalo was going through their problems and KC, like, they're not explosive on offense at all.
Has a down year.
Like, this is bad, man. I'm not saying fire Doug. You can't fire Doug. You can't do it. You don't want to look like a mess of a franchise. He was too good last year. Like, he deserves one more year.
Say they have a suck year again next year.
Oh, Peterson's gone. Peterson's gone. Yeah, for sure.
And Harbaugh stays at Michigan another year. Do you think that'd be a job he'd be open to taking?
Boy, that's such an insignificant market, though. And maybe he doesn't like Trevor. That's the other part. What if Trevor's not good? Right?
Yeah, could be.
I mean, Trevor looks is starting to look kind of as average.
Pedestrian.
Yeah, he looks as average as the day is long. You know? So, I don't think so. They'd have to be so bad or trade to get a really good pick.
Maybe a hot take.
Or Lawrence has an amazing year, but the team's so bad they still lose a bunch of games.
Maybe a hot take here.
Yeah.
For at least 10 more years, there will not be another first overall, another quarterback that gets drafted first overall to win a Super Bowl with the team that drafted him. Do you know who the last one was?
No.
Peyton Manning.
Whew.
Peyton Manning was the last quarterback drafted first overall to win a Super Bowl with the team that drafted him.
Well, I mean, like, if you're drafting first overall, you're a bad team. You're probably poorly run. You probably have a coach that's on the hot seat, and nobody can do it alone. I mean, Matt Stafford's great. Matt Stafford's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He was never going to win a Super Bowl with the Lions. It was never going to happen. He had to go to the Rams. And we realized, literally, first season with the Rams, okay, never mind. All the debating we did for years, no, it was Detroit. Stafford's great. But, you know, you can't do it all by yourself.
Even though he was in Detroit, I mean, who could debate that?
Well, people were called. People called him a stat monster forever.
But this is why I hate analytics. This is why I hate analytics. I can't say it enough. I can't say it loud enough or clear enough. This is why I hate analytics. All you stat nerds out there, you're ruining sports and you're feeding fans and media a bunch of meaningless crap.
Yeah.
Just watch the games. Give it the eye test.
Exactly, right?
Anyone who knows anything about football and has half a working brain in their head would have told you that Stafford was a more than competent enough quarterback. Mm-hmm. He was just in a garbage situation.
Yes. No, I agree. If you watch the games, you'd be like, oh, crap.
God.
He does amazing things every week. The Lions just suck. But yeah, we got to have this conversation now. Like, Lawrence might have been overhyped. He might be as average as the day is long.
He might be, but I mean, you got to give it to him. There's only, to my memory, been one other quarterback. At least in the last 15 years, that got as much hype coming out of college as Trevor Lawrence did, and it was Andrew Luck.
Oh, yeah. But I think Luck mostly.
Both generational prospects.
But, yeah, I don't know. But the thing with Lawrence is just, like, with Luck's teams were awful. Now, the Jags' defense does leave a lot to be desired. When we came into this year, I liked them a lot. I bet their win total. I bet them to win a division. It wasn't just because of roster, though. The schedule was pretty easy. I always thought they were going to have defensive problems. But, like, Trevor, you got to be better. I mean, you got Calvin Ridley. You had Christian Kirk most of the year. I mean, Zay Jones was in and out of the lineup. Engram's a competent tight end. Travis Etienne, an offensive coach who's at least made a Super Bowl. Well, won a Super Bowl. Like, a lot of this, to me, is still on Trevor. And did you watch that game, that last game against the Titans? What was that fourth down throw? That wasn't anywhere
close.
Was
it on Sunday?
Yeah. You didn't. Just sails it way out of bounds. It's like, Trevor, come on, dude. You got to be better than that. I'm sure they all want to crush Doug today and all that. And Doug deserves a lot of blame. But a lot of this needs to go on Lawrence. He was not good. And I know he wasn't healthy the complete time. But even when he was healthy during the year, I didn't think he was playing special at all either. So that's my thoughts on the Jags. Not for long, man. It's wild.
Yeah.
Just a year ago, it looked like they were going to run this division for a while. Simply just because of incompetence from everybody else.
4 months ago, I said conference title game.
Oh, yeah.
4 months.
I know. It's crazy. Let's talk about the other one, though. The Miami Dolphins. Now, I have loved the Dolphins. They have been one of my most profitable teams I've ever bet on or bet against during the season. I've called them the Oregon Dolphins, the Oregon Ducks under Chip Kelly. They'll blow out bad teams, double-digit spreads, doesn't matter. The minute they face good teams, they're not going to win. The only one they beat was the Cowboys. Now, and, you know, Mike McDaniel, whatever you want to say, I think he's clever. I think he's great. I think the problem is Tua. I think clearly the problem is Tua Tagovailoa. And by the way, when they lost the Titans game, I came on here and said it after they lost the Titans game. You might have, just in that one loss, flushed your entire season down the drain because it was the last automatic win on the schedule. The Bills were surging. We handed out the bet, plus 300, bet the Bills to win the division, and it ended up happening. But after that Titans game, they had to play the Cowboys, they had to play the Ravens, and they had to play the Bills. And we're like, they don't beat good teams. So when they lost to the Titans, it was like, you're going to go from winning your division to maybe being a wild card team and playing on the road. And Miami in cold weather, historically, it's a disaster. Tua doesn't have a strong arm, so that doesn't play well in bad weather. So this is a disaster. And I'll tell you,
especially at Arrowhead with that wind.
Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you exactly why Tua is part of the problem here. So Miami has zero offensive touchdowns in the second half versus the Bills, the Cowboys, and the Eagles. Zero offensive touchdowns. They also had 0 points total in the fourth quarter against the Chiefs. All of the good teams that they've played. That's awful. Tua is completely reliant on Tyreek Hill and Mike McDaniel calling the plays, writing up that game script. The minute it's off script, he's not very good.
Nick Sirianni, 2.0.
He's not very talented. But I think Mike McDaniel does a great job. The problem is once you get off script, that's where talent takes over. And Tua's not talented enough to make things happen on his own, make things happen off the game script.
Game managers.
Now, he can do it. He can do it against bad teams.
Game managers win rings, but they don't win Super Bowls.
Yeah. No. So.
And that's what Tua is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a game manager to the highest of order, I think. Zero.
Well, he's a game manager to the highest of orders because he's got some of the fastest receivers.
I know.
When was the last time we saw a duo like Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill?
I know. And, like, you can't, like, that's not a fluke. Zero second half touchdowns in three games against the three of the four good opponents you actually faced all season.
And one of them's a divisional opponent.
Like, that is damning. It's time to pay Tua soon. They can't pay him. You can't. I'd let him walk. And, like, Kirk Cousins ripped up Achilles. I don't care. You'll be cheaper. $25 million, dude. Like, they can't pay Tua $30-plus million. Zero second-half touchdowns against Buffalo, Dallas, and Philly. That's damning.
Yeah.
He is what he is.
That's bad.
He's not that athletic. He's small. His arm's not special. Like,
yep. Honestly, if I was the Dolphins, too, after the year he had last year, there's honestly a good chance I would have just, like, gave him a bag and said, here, go home.
But the same thing happened to them at the
family.
End. The same thing happened to them last year, too. They kind of fell apart at the end. Now, part of that was Tua's concussion. But even the games at the end, once the weather got colder, like, you saw the limitations. And I thought the limitations have been on full display here in the second part of the season. Well, really all season, every time they've played a good team.
When's his deal up? Is it
I think
after
it's next
this year?
I think it's after this year. And if it's not, it's the year after. But remember, you can always do, like, the fifth-year option, and then you could, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's that part of it, too. But it's got to be up either this year or at the end of next year. But I think they have to at least do the fifth-year option at this point.
Well, yeah, I would.
No, I wouldn't. Because to pick up the fifth-year option, don't you have to pay him at a premium? It's kind of like franchise tagging.
Yes.
It's like franchise tagging.
Yes.
So you have to pay him like $45 million. No.
I don't know if the salary would be quite as... It wouldn't be franchise tag steep, though.
It's gotta be up there, though. It's got to be close. I'd have to look it up later, but we can look it up later. But it's got to be a lot of money, dude.
I mean, if nothing
else,
If you wanted to run it
back for one more year, but you can't give him a contract extension.
That's what I'm saying, though.
Okay.
So even if his contract's up, right, and you decide he's not the guy, we don't want to bother trying to bring another guy in from free agency. We got to pay him more now, too.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're paying him vet minimum, you're still paying him more than you'd pay a guy on a rookie deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So even if it means shelling out a little bit of extra money to keep Tua for a fifth year, well, you develop a guy that you draft so he can actually have a chance at figuring out what the hell is going on in that system. Because that's, I mean, the checks and the motions more than anything and the shifts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not as complex as like a Brady offense with option routes and checks and protections and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, McDaniel still runs a very nuanced offense.
Yeah, he does.
So, I mean, I always err on the side of that anyways.
I got you. But.
So.
Yeah. I hear you. Are you going to look it up real quick?
Yes, I am.
You know what? While you look it up, I'll say some final things on this. Like I said, I mean, there's a lot of wares you can go. You want to pick up an option. I'm sure you would have a trade market. You watch this. Mike McDaniel's so clever. They got all the weapons. Like, it should be better than this. 0 second-half touchdowns against 3 or 4 only good opponents you played. Had a really easy schedule this year, and it ended up being like, it's just not good enough. And you can't be the Giants who just paid Daniel Jones all that money, and it's literally like, well, we got to find another one right away. I think it's clear what the problem is in Miami. Now, the defensive personnel was not great, but the defense, you know, a lot of it was Josh Allen turning the football over. But the defense still kept Buffalo in check. The defense did enough against the Cowboys. Now, they ended up winning still, but they did enough against the Cowboys. It's not like the Chiefs put up 30 on the defense. So I think it's pretty clear that Tua is the thing that is holding this team back, or at least one of the main things that's holding this team back at the position that ends up being the most expensive. And then you can say goodbye to all those weapons. So while you look that up, we're going to take our final break, and then we'll go right into the NFL wildcard games and give our opinion and talk about them. So stick with us, guys. And we're back, ready to finish things up. Let's actually go into the NFL wildcard round now. This is not the betting segment. I'll tell you which ones I bet, or at least at what number I did. There really is only one bet left on the board.
I should pull these matchups up, shouldn't I?
You're fine. I have them right here. So we'll start with Saturday, the first game, Cleveland at the Texans. Brian, I'll let you start. What's your opinion on this game?
I wouldn't be surprised if Cleveland went in there and bitch slapped them.
I wouldn't be either. I think Cleveland wins this game.
Joe Flacco scares the hell out of me, and that defense is a problem.
Yeah, I like D'Amico Ryans. I like C.J. Stroud.
I think they're going to win this game.
I like what they've done in Houston, but it's still a rookie quarterback now having to play in the playoffs. Joe Flacco's been there and done that. The Browns have a scary D-line. The Browns have a good defense. I think Kevin Stefanski's a really good coach. Like, just the experience and defensive talent.
This is literally the mold of how Joe Flacco won that Super Bowl.
It kind of is, yeah. I think is just too much for Houston, first-year coach, rookie quarterback. It's just too much, in my opinion. So, yeah. I would start to – I still wouldn't bet it because, you know, it's not like the Browns are freaking Super Bowl roster, in my opinion. Flacco's not a Super Bowl quarterback. This is still someone who was on the couch just 2 months ago. But, and the line's like two, so there's not a ton of value in it.
Right, but he was on the couch a couple of months ago.
I know, and he's playing like this.
And he's playing lights out. I know. Football.
At times it has seemed like
the Cleveland Browns.
I know. At times this has seemed like a magical season, though,
that
also for
man,
the Texans.
That man is, I shouldn't say that. I can't say that man. He's not human.
I know.
I should say that anti-Brady.
I will say the one thing is the Browns' defense has been kind of two different teams, home and away. But at the end of the day, it's playoff time. The boys will show up, and they got a lot of talent. So I'm going Browns. Let's go to the next one.
As Jesse would say.
Yes.
He's just going to throw his balls out on the table.
Next one, Miami at KC. I already brought this one up.
Do we even need to talk about this game?
Well, we're going to talk about it because I'm going to tell you right now.
No, I know.
I bet it at 3.5. It's moved to 4, 4.5.
I got.
I would
hear,
still take Kansas
I
City
at
four and a half.
I'd take them.
I'd still take Kansas City
still
at 4.5.
Cover that.
I'm Miami's also the
gonna,
one who.
Miami's going to crap their pants.
Yeah, I mean, like, you think about it this way. Miami was just 2 weeks ago going to win the division and at least be able to play at home. Multiple weeks ago looked like they had the division in hand. So in a short amount of time, they have had that go away. They're now going to have to go on the road after just playing a game that mattered last week, that they lost the division lead they had forever. They're going to go on the road in freezing temperatures. And the other thing is the Dolphins are riddled with injuries now. Xavier Howard's banged up. Bradley Chubb, the best pass rusher, is done for the season. They're still missing two or three guys on the offensive line. There's somebody else. I think that another one of their pass rushers is out, too. I can't remember who it was. Oh, wait. No. Secondary. Jaden Phillips. He's out, too. So the Dolphins are banged up after the gut punch of losing the Buffalo game, the gut punch of losing the division. And historically, Miami in cold weather is not a good mix, and Tua is not a strong-arm quarterback. So Andy Reid and the boys, their seeding wasn't going to change. So Andy's basically had 2 weeks also to draw up plays, even though they didn't get a bye. So it's going to be a lot of Isaiah Pacheco running it down their throat. Reed's going to have drawn some stuff up, and I think Miami's going to struggle to move the football.
Points four.
Mm-hmm.
Miami, second, with 29.2.
Mm-hmm.
KC, 15th, just under 22 points at 21.8.
Yeah.
Points against.
I know, but you all know that the seasons, there's two different
Miami
NFL seasons.
22nd and KC second overall. Second in the league.
Oh, in defense?
Yeah.
Allowed, okay.
17.3 yeah, points a game.
Yeah, that's the other
stick. Yeah, stick a fork in those. Squish the fish. They're cooked.
I think they are too. There's nothing. I said it earlier. I don't like the Chiefs. I love the Chiefs this week. And I'm the one who for weeks has been telling people, don't bet the Chiefs. You don't bet the Chiefs. Don't bet them at home. Don't bet them on the road. This offense isn't good enough to cover spreads.
But it's
all about spots, and this is a horrible spot for the Dolphins. Give me the Chiefs all day. I mean, Steelers-Buffalo, do we got to talk about this? This should be a blowout, right?
It should.
I know. Josh Allen could go straight stupid. I get that. The Steelers are so lucky to even be here.
I wouldn't be surprised if Buffalo didn't cover, though.
Oh, no, listen. 10 points is a ton of points to cover. I'm not betting this game. The only game I'm telling people to bet is the KC-Miami game. Now, I bet the Rams-Lions game, but that number's gone, so I wouldn't bet it now. But, yeah, I wouldn't bet Buffalo to have to cover 10 points. But if you told me they won by 20, I wouldn't be shocked either. Buffalo blows teams out. Now, Josh Allen does some dumb stuff sometimes and keeps teams in the game when he shouldn't. But the Steelers are lucky to be here. Buffalo's developed a run game now. Buffalo's defense was struggling for a while because they had lost so many guys. But now that the backups have at least have had multiple snaps and weeks to get, like, they're starting to play a lot better on defense. So if they found a run game, the defense has patched it up. They're my pick to make the Super Bowl. Just because I still don't trust Lamar in the playoffs. And Buffalo, we all know, at least when they're playing on their high top end, is as good as anyone and can blow anybody out. So I'm picking them to make the Super Bowl. Not that confidently, but I am. So they should blow out the Steelers. Here's the next one.
Close game, but I'll say Buffalo.
You think it's going to be close?
Yeah.
Josh will do something stupid. Mike Tomlin is, you know, rah-rah spot.
Yeah.
Disrespect, guys. We're 10-point underdogs. We're the Steelers. Okay. All right. Fine. Boy, if that game's close, man, I'm just – I don't feel good about that pick of Buffalo making the Super Bowl. But next one, Green Bay.
Which pick would you have more conviction about, Buffalo or Baltimore going to the Super Bowl?
Well, everyone's picking Baltimore.
I might pick him this year.
I don't think you're wrong. I don't – listen, I don't think you can go wrong either way.
I mean, it's just
– I just think that, like, in the playoffs, sometimes talent wins out. And Josh Allen is amazing and can win a game even on his own, even against a great defense like the Ravens. And I still haven't seen Lamar be able to do it in the playoffs. But, like, it's 50-50. I'm not putting any money on the Bills to make it. It's 50-50. Now, there's no excuse for the Ravens to not be in the AFC Championship game. There really is barely any excuse for them to not be in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I could see if Josh Allen just goes full Superman,
yeah,
and wins close, I might give Lamar and the Ravens a pass. But in general, with just all the obstacles that have been cleared for Lamar and the Ravens, like, they should probably be in the Super Bowl. But I just don't trust them in the playoffs yet. So, you know, historically, I've been a Lamar hater, and, you know, I'm starting to look like I might be wrong. So, you know, it is what it is. Next one, Green Bay and the Cowboys. I love Jordan Love. The Packers have done it again, I think. I loved him coming out of college either. I'm glad he's lived up to what I thought he could be. So the Packers have done it again. That being said, I don't know why the Bears couldn't put some points, probably just because Fields is actually a bad quarterback from within the pocket. But the Packer defense is pretty bad. It's a pretty bad defense. It's not a complete roster yet. It's a really young roster. The game's going to be in Dallas. I think Dallas has a very good chance to blow them out.
Over-under is 50.5.
I'd go over.
I would, too.
I think both these teams are going to score a lot of points. Especially if Dallas gets a real big early lead, because then they'll let up a little bit in the pass. I mean, like, listen, Jordan Love, he can escape a pass rush. So you might be like, well, Dallas will pin their ears back, go after him. Jordan can get away from that, make big plays happen. At the end of the day, though, I see Dallas probably winning this game, like, 33-23. Pretty comfortably. Still wouldn't bet it at the -7. Mike McCarthy can do some stupid things in spots. You know, it's hard to trust the Cowboys all the time, but they should be able to handle Green Bay. And if they blew out Green Bay by 20 points, it should not change your opinion of Jordan Love and this team at all. They're not ready yet. They're not a complete roster. The Cowboys are.
Aaron Rodgers could have torn his Achilles. It could have stayed with the Packers, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And still torn his Achilles in the first, like, 80-something seconds of the game.
Mm-hmm.
He could be on the bench for Green Bay this week. I would still take the Packers.
Yeah. Yeah.
They just, now that Rodgers is gone, Dallas can exercise those demons.
No, I get you. The next one. This is the best one. These last two games are the best, too. This might be my favorite. Rams and the Lions. I'll let you start and give your opinion on this game.
Okay. This game is as good, if not better, for the story alone,
mm-hmm,
than it is for the actual game itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I anticipate this to be a very good game.
Oh, yeah. I think it'll be a great game.
Stafford going back home to Detroit, face his old team to advance in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
McVay is back at the height of his powers.
Mm-hmm.
Going against the NFL's darling meathead,
mm-hmm,
and evil, not evil,
mm-hmm,
genius mastermind of a coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a good friggin' matchup for so many reasons. Mm-hmm.
Really good offenses.
The chess match
mm-hmm,
between McVay and Detroit's defense and Ben Johnson and the Rams defense.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot wait to see what they pull out of their bags of tricks.
I know. I think, you know, everything about this game is great.
This is going to be a close game, though. I think it's going to be close.
Oh, I think it's going to be very close. I think it's going to be super close. And I'm picking an upset. I'm picking the Rams. Now, I bet... crap.
I probably still pick the Rams, too, because, like, you're... That's still Jared Goff you're betting against.
So I love this game. It's going to be a great game to watch. I bet it when it opened at 3.5. I don't love it as much at the 3 because I could still see the Lions winning, and then that's kind of a dead number. But it's going to be a close game. It's going to be back and forth. I will pick the Rams to win straight out, though, and here's why. I've been on them for a while. We handed out this bet to plus 185 at the time weeks ago for them to make the playoffs. Vegas struggles with this team. They've struggled with them all year because it's a different team when Puka, Kupp, and Kyren Williams are all healthy. It is a really rebuilding roster, but when you have great offensive weapons, a great head coach, and a top-tier quarterback, you're going to overcome all the other stuff, and you're going to win a lot of games. On the flip side, here's why I love it. I think the Rams have the edge in coaching. No, actually, I know they have the edge in coaching. I like Dan Campbell. X and O schematics, come on. Sean McVay is better. They have the edge in coaching.
Coaches circles around.
They have the edge at quarterback.
Quinn.
Stafford is better than Jared Goff, for sure. I think both teams have great offensive weapons, so I think that's kind of a wash. Lions do have a better O-line, but I think both teams have bad secondaries, and I think the Rams have a better D-line. I think the Lions' D-line is mostly just Aiden Hutchinson. Rams have got a kid that's played well, and they still got Aaron Donald. So I think when you go through the boxes, you take the records out, division winners out, seeding out. When you go through the boxes, I think the Rams check a few more boxes than the Lions do, and they check the boxes at the two most important places, which is head coach and quarterback.
Who's the DC?
So I think the Rams win straight up.
Who's
Raheem
DC
Morris.
For the Rams? Raheem Morris.
And he's done a fantastic
job. How long
job.
Has he been there?
I think this is his first year there.
As DC or just with the organization?
No, I don't know if he was with the – he might have been the linebackers coach last year. So he's been there for a minute. But he's done a great – he's a rising star as a defensive coordinator as well. He's done a great job despite the fact that it's a rebuilding roster. Both these teams are going to give up points. Both of these teams have leaky secondaries, but it's a wash. They're even at that. Rams check a few more boxes. I loved it. I bet the Rams at 3.5. Don't like it as much at 3. But still, if you're just – telling me winner or loser, I'm going to pick the Rams with the upset here.
Now yeah, they're leaking.
Yeah. Also, the Rams are just playing great football here down the stretch, too.
Damn.
By the way, the Rams, remember, the Rams pushed back against the Ravens all day long. I mean, it was a touchdown game.
Yep.
37-31, I think. So, the Rams are good, man.
Plus, if there's anyone who knows Jared Goff's tendencies.
Yep. It's Sean.
It's that dude, McVay.
Yeah. It's not like there's anyone in Detroit left from when Stafford was there.
Nope.
So.
Long gone.
So, and then the final one. Eagles, Bucks. I'm picking the Bucks straight out.
Really?
Yep, I am. Now, again, I haven't bet it. I don't feel quite that confident about it.
What's the point spread on that game?
I think it was 2.5. I think it's 3 now. I think it's 3, back up to 3 now. If you wanted to bet it at plus 3 for the Tampa, I wouldn't say that's a bad bet. But yeah, I think the Bucks win straight up. The Eagles have no momentum at all. They've been have they been 1-5 now down the stretch?
I think so.
Because they started 10-1,
yep.
And they finished at 11-5.
Yeah.
So I mean, they've been a bad football team for a month and a half.
Yeah.
Nick Sirianni getting crapped on. It's just gotten worse and worse by the week. The defense is bad. The secondary is bad. And they're going against Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. For all the deficiencies on Tampa's roster, Godwin and Evans can burn anybody. And that's a bad secondary.
I was talking with my buddy about this just a few weeks ago, too, when we were like, the Eagles started the season off 10-1.
Mm-hmm.
And there was like a couple of weeks left. And we're like, what the hell is – we looked at the thing on the TV and we're like, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're going through the schedule, and I'm like, yeah, Sully, they're tanking.
Yeah. So are you going along with me on this one? Do you think the Bucs can actually win this game straight up, or are you still going with the Eagles?
I don't know. I don't know, man.
You got to make a pick.
I know.
Hey, listen, I'm not like I'm so confident I'm not telling people to bet it, but I think we got –
it's in Philly, right?
No, it's in Tampa.
Or is it? It is in Tampa.
Yeah, because the Eagles ended up being a wild card team.
That's right. That's right.
After going 10-1.
Yeah, mush brain. Listen to me.
It's at home, right?
Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Fire the cannons.
Eagles have a lot of injuries, too.
Do they?
Yeah, A.J. Brown got a little banged up in that last game. I know Hurts got a little banged up in that game. Who else got banged up?
See, I'm so screwed up from missing the last week of football.
No, I know. Like a number of injuries too.
It's killing me.
So
it's killing
Tampa
me.
Also has no pressure on them in this game.
That's true. And I've
despite being the higher seed and winning the division, Tampa has no pressure in this
and
game.
And I have said this so many times on this show, the most dangerous teams are the ones with nothing to lose.
Yeah. That's why you actually, you know, we talked about this when we did the gambling segment last week. When you have these matchups, especially in division with one team with nothing to play and the other team having to win to make the playoffs, a lot of people are like, oh, that team has nothing to play for. The team, they're going to play well. They need to make the playoffs. No, it's the opposite. You bet the team to cover the spread a lot of time or even win straight out that has nothing to lose. Mm-hmm. And you saw that with the Cardinals against Seattle. Now, Seattle ended up winning, but the Cardinals should have won.
And Dallas.
Missed the field goal.
When they beat Dallas.
Oh, yeah. But I was talking about, like, the final week of that season. The Titans beating the Jaguars straight up. And the Titans had nothing to play for other than play spoiler. So, yeah. I'm picking the Bucs. I just feel it. Bad secondary against Godwin and Mike Evans. Nothing to lose, you know? I just like it. Now, maybe you could be like, hey, Eagles back against the wall. Sirianni feels like maybe he could be coaching for his job, but when you've played bad football for that long and you're coming to the playoffs with just no momentum at all, but still the pressure on you, I think it's a bad mix.
Yeah, fire the cannons. Bake is going to bake. I'm going with the Bucs.
Woo! Let's go. All right. So we'll see how these age. That's been it for the NFL wild card round that we go over again. I bet the Rams at 3.5. I don't really like it as much at 3, but I do think they'll win. And then I love KC at 3.5. 4, 4.5. I don't care. I think Casey's winning that game. So let's finish it up quickly with our Darwin Award. Drum roll, please. This week's Darwin Award winner is Arthur Smith. Because not only was he fired, what a terrible way to end your tenure there.
What a bad mustache.
Complaining that at the end of the game, instead of taking the knee, the Saints decided to get Jamal Williams in the end zone for a touchdown. When you were already down 41-17. Like, it can't get any worse anyway, Arthur. You can be a little annoyed, but to be flipping guys off, not wanting to shake hands and dropping F-bombs, like, this isn't high school football. This isn't peewee football. Like, no one cares about sportsmanship. This is the NFL. You can do whatever you want. If you don't like it, stop it. I thought he looked like a little baby with that one. I get maybe, you know, next time you play him, you tell your team, remember what they did to you. But to throw a full-on temper tantrum on the field about it, F you, F this guy, flipping off, I think you look like a little baby. And then the coup de grace is the fact that that was your last image as a head coach because we all knew you were going to get fired after the game. Like, that's the last impression you made.
Yeah, at least go out with a little humility.
Yeah, like, just be a man, go out there, shake the hand. Again, if it had been the middle of the season, too, I don't think it's as dumb, but like, that's the last we saw of you as a head coach.
Suck at your job.
Being a little crybaby little girl.
Female dog.
Female dog.
Being suck at your job. Get fired.
Yeah.
Be a man.
Yeah. This whole unwritten rules or sportsmanship stuff, like, it's not peewee football.
You wonder
why. We're all professionals.
Right, but at the same time, you're all adults who are supposed to be professionals. Show a little bit of sportsmanship, right?
Right. I guess, but then freaking out, dropping F-bombs and whatever. Like,
you wonder why I don't want that guy as my OC.
No, he's still a good – listen, he's fine as a coordinator. Ryan Tannehill's best year.
Listen, give me a lunatic, okay? Give me a Jim Harbaugh lunatic. Give me, as a player, the Marshawn Lynch-type lunatic. If I'm a baseball guy, give me the Chris Sale-type lunatic.
But, yeah, this is what I mean, right? Say you're supposed to be professional and all that, but do you think the Jim Harbaughs, the Sean Paytons, the Bill Belichicks would have flipped out the way that they did?
No.
No, they would have been like, we got our ass kicked either way. Like, I'm not going to freak out about it. It's not your job to have pity on me. It's our job to stop you. I can look like a little whiner. And again, that was the last image of him as a head coach. He was fired 8 hours later. We all knew it was going to happen, too. So congratulations to this week's Darwin Award winner, Arthur Smith.
I didn't even
for
know
being a whiner.
I didn't know who the Darwin was this week
I know
until a minute ago.
But that has been it for Slow Your Roll this week and what was a crazy last 24 hours. With Dominic Lorenzano, Brian Salem, have a great rest of your week, ladies and gentlemen.